Even though we're 2.5 years into the pandemic, we still haven't fully figured out remote work.
I can't get the connect. Switch the camera.
Turn your mic, your AirPods. I can't hear. Unmute me.
Okay, maybe things aren't as bad as that clip from the show, Desus and Marrow, anymore, but it's clear there are still a lot of kinks to work out. And Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, is here to talk about it and hopefully help us work out some more of those kinks. Hey, Derek.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So you wrote in your latest piece that the remote work debate has become deeply polarized between people who consider remote work a moral necessity that is beyond criticism and those who consider it a culture killer that is beyond fixing. Who's right here?
Well, both sides have a pretty good case. On the one hand, I think that you look at the number of people who have worked remotely for the last 2 years, who want to stay remote, at least on a part-time basis, it's an overwhelming majority of these knowledge workers. And of course, this is the place where I have to say that the share of the total workforce that can work from home is lower than 50%, right? So yeah. More than half of workers do not have the option that we are talking about. But a lot of people who have worked remotely really like it. And then at the same time, I think that we've seen some of the work from home boosters be so resistant to any criticism that they've overlooked the fact that there's lots of people for whom remote work doesn't always work out very well. So, for example, new workers have, as I've seen in polls and as I've reported, have a very difficult time breaking into a company when the company essentially exists as like a group chat, right? There is no physical world company to join. You open up your computer and your colleagues are all avatars. I don't think that's a perfect replacement for the office, even if you believe the office was flawed.
Yeah, and part of that, for new workers especially, is like this idea of building trust in a workplace, which can be extremely hard to establish and maintain via digital communication, texts, and Slack and things like that, even for people who've worked at a company for a long time. Why is that, and is there a way we can fix that trust problem?
Yeah, so there's this idea called psychological safety that's a little bit of a buzz term in corporate psychology, but it basically means that a really important part of creativity and innovation is that I tell you my ideas and you tell me your ideas and both of us share our ideas without the fear that we're going to make fun of the other person or, you know, hold them up for public ridicule. Getting there requires a certain degree of trust. And I think it's really hard to build true trust and true intimacy on Zoom, on chat, on group text. I don't think digital communications are a very good replacement for the building of that kind of trust. And for that reason, I think that even companies that are fundamentally remote, that are distributed, should at least have frequent reunions so that people see each other as whole people and not just as two-dimensional avatars.
Right. And to kind of shepherd us into this new age, your piece calls for this new type of middle manager role called the synchronizer. Can you just make the case for that position? Why do big companies need a position like that?
They need a position like this because hybrid work is going to be very, very hard. Hybrid work is not this thing that you can just introduce to a company and then suddenly figure it out. It's going to be really, really difficult to figure out which teams need to be in the office, where they're going to sit if they're not in the office every day, how you get enough people into the office so that people can sort of have these soft work connections, these sort of subtle, implicit connections with people they work sort of adjacent to, but not sort of deep within a team with. I think it's going to be very, very difficult. And I think that companies are going to recognize that this is a new job. This is a discrete task to get people together in the office and to get people together in reunions. And as a result, it deserves a discrete job. And so I think that you're going to see that a lot of these operations teams that right now are split between 1,000 jobs, you've got recruiting and IT and office maintenance and normal pre-pandemic communications, you can't layer on top of that this job of the synchronizer, getting people who need to be in the office together. And so I call for the creation of a new kind of job, a synchronizer. And the job of a synchronizer would be to help workers determine when are they in the office, on what days, where do they sit, and why are they there in the first place?
How do you overcome this problem? I mean, there are a lot of people who are working remote who just cannot, you mentioned it earlier, cannot get into this idea that they need to be somewhere, even if there's studies that support it, like you mentioned? I mean, how do you get those people on board with the idea, even if there is a synchronizer who's telling them you have to be here on Monday or something like that? How do you win over those people?
Really, really good question. And there's no easy answer. The office didn't work for millions and millions of people. Millions and millions of people just did not enjoy anything that the office had to offer them. And millions of people don't enjoy what work from home has had to offer them. And so it just goes without saying that obviously millions of people are going to be frustrated by hybrid work as well. There's a lot of different kinds of psychology out there, a lot of different kinds of people. And I think synchronizers are so important because we have to understand those people's preferences individually.
That's Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, always great to talk to you.
Thank you.